Praise the Lord. What an honor and blessing to be back here again. Last year I got kicked out by the snowstorm. We had to cancel service and I kind of took it personal. No, not really. But it's a blessing to be back. We have kindred spirits, Pastor Dwight and I, because we really want to see the Lord move, not only just in our families' lives, but we want to explode into the community. I'm a firm believer in engaging your culture, engaging your community, not just talking about God, not just preaching about Jesus, but presenting him in a way that you would want to sit down and have a savory steak meal. You know, so many times we present the gospel, you got to be this, you got to do that, and you scare the tar out of people. They don't want anything to do with it. But we have to present it like the word says. We have to be salt. Amen? Salt enhances the flavor of something, does it not? And so if a salt loses its flavor, what good is it? It's not. Praise God. That's just a little hors d'oeuvre. Is that okay? An hors d'oeuvre this morning. I send greetings from my family. My son Zach normally travels with me. And he couldn't come. He's full-time in college. Plus he's working two jobs. Plus he fell in love. He's engaged. He's going to be getting married in October. And we're just really looking forward to that. The young lady that the Lord's provided for him as his future bride is also a registered nurse. And she's got a good job. She has a heart for the Lord. I tell you what, she prays. She encourages. She's texting scripture. That's one cool thing about texting. You can use it, man, if you know how to do it. I'm still kind of like the Columbus, you know. I'm searching, find for the letter, and I got to back up, and you know. But anyways, she's really has a heart for the Lord. Her name is Melissa. So if you think about Zach, you think about Melissa, just ask for the Lord just to provide and sustain and to anoint, amen, their marriage. We have to bless our children.
Yes.
We don't do enough blessing.
Yeah, come on.
We do a lot more of other things, you know. You did this wrong. We need to bless our children. Amen?
Yes.
And anoint them. Believe God for the anointing. Pastor and I were talking about Isaiah 59:21 last night. And it says, when the word of God, the spirit of God that I put in your life, Stan, shall not depart from you. Kirk, his son, it shall not depart from you. And Taylor, his grandson, it shall not depart from him, and it's going to go on forevermore. Amen?
Amen.
We have to put it in a perspective that we understand. Sometimes we read scripture and like, whew. We have to put it in a perspective that God meant it for now. The word of God is alive. It never did die. It's never going to die. It's alive, and it's always going to be alive, and it's pertinent for today.
Yes, sir.
Amen? Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I was praying this morning about what to speak on. I'm getting some feedback here. Do you want me to quit?
No.
Oh, okay. I was praying this morning about, you know, Lord, what do you want to do? And I really felt him speak to me, get a hold of my heartbeat. And so I really just felt strong. We were praying in the worship room. I want you to get my heartbeat. I want you to feel my heart this morning. And so I went to Kirk and I said, the Lord wants me to tell you, man, you got to feel the heartbeat. You got to try to find the Father's pulse. And so, I don't know where I was going with that at the time. And so as we're worshiping the Lord, I just, you know, when your kids, how many got kids? When your kids come to you and there's something wrong and you really have that bond and you put, I remember some of my girls, even my son, I'd put them to my chest and I'd just hold them, you know. And they could feel my heartbeat. You know, there's something about that. There's a closeness, there's a drawness. And I felt this is what the Father spoke to me. And you might not like it, but oh well, I'm going to be obedient anyway. Is that okay? Wow, this hurts. It broke my heart. You know, James says I'm just going to read it, what he says. The thing falls off, doesn't it? I was so taken back by what Stephen spoke this morning. Where's he at? Oh, man. That's okay. He'll hear it later. Because I'm guilty. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm guilty of not letting the Spirit of God be shaken out of me in every situation, okay?
Come on.
There it is.
Amen.
Okay? James 5:20 says, "Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sin." Am I the only one in this room who presents anger at times when you should be presenting grace? Man, if you never get wrong, I'm going to pray for you for, or angry, I want to pray for you for lying. There's things that come up in my life when the first thing out of me is anger. And it shouldn't be that way. Man, when he said that, and here I'm preaching about letting the love of Christ flow out of me. All weekend long, I'm getting angry at this thing, though. And he said that. And he said, "What's being shaken out of us?" And I'm thinking, oh my Lord, you had to do that this morning? You had to say that this morning, Led? I'm getting up to preach and you're telling me by the drummer who's listening to the voice of the Lord comes up and says, what's being shaken out of you? Oh Lord, I had to repent. And then the Lord says, I want you to find my heartbeat this morning. So I go to Kirk and say, the Lord spoke to me. We're supposed to find the heartbeat of God, so worship in the Lord. And this is what the Lord tells me. And I feel he was just brokenhearted. First, then we're singing the song, "Heal My Heart," like David said in Psalms 139, "Lord, find if there's anything evil or anything wrong inside of me." Then, oh my Lord, the Lord's just pounding me this morning. And he said, "Break my heart." Oh my gosh. It ain't going to quit. And then it says, "Open my eyes to the things unseen," is what the song is singing. And this is what the Lord says. You're wearing me on your t-shirts. You're wearing me on your bumper stickers. You're wearing me on your belt buckles. You've got me on your signs out front. You put me on your business cards. But you don't have me branded on your heart. We're breaking the Father's heart because we want to portray Him as this great thing, yet we don't have Him branded on our hearts. Man, when I used to run cattle, we put our brand on it so everybody knows who they were. And if they were healthy and you brought them to the fair, then everybody saw who they were. Amen? But when they're sick and not doing so good, you put them in the back of the barn or you butcher them real quick and you sell them as hamburger. But we're breaking the Father's heart because we're doing all the right motives, all the right things. We're making it look good on the outside, but yet He's not branded on our heart. We want to run to Him when something's wrong and tell Him all of our problems. But really, we forget to glorify Him through those things.
That's right. Come on. Amen.
Man, is that witness with anybody else's spirit besides mine?
Amen.
This is what Joel said. And this isn't even the meal yet. This is still just more hors d'oeuvres. Joel 2:13 says, "So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and He's merciful. He's slow to anger and He's of great kindness." When we're singing holy, 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 we got to remember that God has feelings too.
Yes.
He gave His only Son for you and for me. Why? So we wouldn't have to go through the same garbage that the rest of the world's going to be going through. Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
"For He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." He wants us to brand His name on our hearts so that we never forget where He's brought us from.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's lift your hands to the Lord. And just tell Him, "I thank You, Jesus. I thank You, Jesus, for saving my life. Lord, I want Your name branded across my heart so that they do an autopsy on me, Lord. They're going to see that I'm a child of the one true King. That Your name, Jesus Christ, Savior, Lord, King of Kings, Holy One, Most Anointed One, Prince of Peace, Mighty Conqueror, is branded across my heart. I am sold out. I'm a slave to Jesus Christ. Jesus, do that in our hearts today, I pray. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And when we get there, when we finally get there, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16:9, it's so cool how the Lord works, you know. He tells us stuff in the Old Testament that's pertinent for today. I'm not one of those guys who believe just because the veil was torn that that stuff's from the past. It's pertinent for today, amen?
Amen.
You see, God is still looking. His eyes are running all over Sisseton, South Dakota, looking for those whose heart is branded with his name, whose heart is loyal to him, so he can show how big he is, how strong he is. For your sake. Not for his sake, for your sake. Come on, can you say amen this morning?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 2013 has been an unusual year for us. I spent the whole month of February in South America, a little tiny country called Suriname. Spent most of the time up in the jungle ministering to the people. I also spoke in the largest church in Suriname, which I had no idea what it was till I got there. He said, we're going to be in a big church tonight. Okay, I mean, it was unbelievably huge and filled with people worshiping God. I couldn't understand a word they were saying, but the Spirit of God was strong. They went from there up into the jungle and an opportunity to go across the river into French Guyana and minister. And when I came home, God had provided for me, because we've been traveling for years doing mission work, ministering. I'd left the pastorate many years ago to fulfill the call of God on my heart. My first true love in ministry as a worship leader. That's my heart. My heart is to worship the Lord. And I bring that in when I speak, when I preach. I hope that's the effervescence that flows out of me, is worshiping Jesus, because that's what it's really all about. It's really the lifeblood. It's a link. You want to get in the Father's heart, just like our heart pumps blood. You want to get into the Father's heart, man, just worship him. Just worship him. And it's life-changing. Anyway, God provided a job for me in an emergency department in our local hospital. I've been working there for a year now. And God spoke to me as plain as he spoke anything else to me, that I'm there to minister. That's my new mission field now. And God has teamed me up with some people that are believers. I've got our trauma doctor is a born-again, spirit-filled guy. And we met looking at motorcycles one night. And I said, man, he said, oh, this is my dream bike, blah, 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 blah. And I said, well, let's pray God will give you one. He said, no, God wants me to sell everything I have. I said, really? He said, yeah, I want to go back to Africa. I want to be a missionary there. And we just hit it off. And kindred spirit, that's the way the Holy Spirit works, you know. And I said, man, can I pray with you? We pray together every time we work together. And our fervent prayer is Isaiah 61. So that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon us and has anointed us to present the gospel, to heal the brokenhearted, set the captives free. Yes, we believe in medicine. God uses medicine. But our prayer, we want to see God do miracles.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
And raise people out of that place that cannot be fixed. And I've got a couple today. Praise God. Well, where was I going with that? Anyways, I started there, and then in August, I was blessed with an infirmity when I blew out my back and had to have emergency surgery. I lost total left side body function, lost bowel and bladder function, all within a matter of about 12, 14 hours, and they had to do emergency surgery on a Sunday morning. And again, I was faced with a dilemma. Am I going to glorify God in this, or am I going to pout? And I do pout, I'll be honest with you, but I wasn't in the pouting mood that day. So I chose to let God use me in that situation, and I was able to minister and pray with the nurses that came in and out. And I guess when I was in the emergency department I work in, they had their terminology is they had me snowed so that I wouldn't feel so bad. And I guess I bought everybody pizza. So I had my wife go pick up pizzas. And which I think is really cool, because it's been my goal this last year. And what I preached on this weekend was letting the rivers of living water flow out of you. And it's been my goal that no matter what comes through the door, Lord, let your spirit flow through me. I never know what's coming into the emergency department. It can be really bad and ugly, or it can just be something stupid. But I never know what's coming through. And so it can be very nerve-wracking at times, but I just pray, God, let your spirit flow out of me. So I must have been in a flowing mood that day, even though I was on medication and bought everybody pizza. But, you know, God works in mysterious ways, amen? They remember it. They still talk about that. We remember when you came in here and you had this, and man, you bought us all pizza. Nobody's ever done that. Ah, praise God, you know? But I was able to, then I had to be transferred to another hospital where they did the spine surgery. And I've been told that they were arguing between the nursing staff who got to take care of me and my family that week, because I had people coming in and out. My kids were always there, and we were praying together and singing. And these people were ministered to. I ran into one of the nurses about 4 months later in another restaurant in another town. And he come walking right up to me. He said, man, I wondered what happened to you. You were the greatest patient I ever had. I can't believe it. And I just ministered to him. I just spread the love of Jesus. It didn't cost me nothing. I was there anyways, you know. So I thought, well, I might as well make the best out of a bad situation. Amen. Paul wrote in Romans 8:28, he says, all things, not just the fun things, but all things. There's still some bad stuff that you're going to go through. You know that, don't you? But God can turn them, do a 180. And make him good for his glory. So praise God. I want to continue on the same vein of flow today. I know you guys got it all together now.
Amen.
But we're going to let the ladies have a little taste, okay? And actually, it's just amazing to me. I don't know if Kirk and Marnie planned this or what, but just the music even talked about flowing in the river.
Come on.
Being in the flow of what the Lord wants to do. If you have your Bibles, which I hope you do, I don't care if it's in the electronic form, which I'm using, or if it's in the written form, or in the pastor's case, it's memory. John 7:37. Jesus says these words, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. For he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow. They won't dribble. Look at that word. They're not going to dribble. They're going to flow rivers of living water.
Come on.
Not pools of stagnant water. Not Perrier that's been bottled. But rivers of living water will flow out of them. Let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are true, that you are the living God, that nothing is impossible with you. We've already established those things, Lord. We, Lord, you want to be branded on our hearts this morning. I pray, Father God, you would expand our minds this morning to receive what you want to do. Lord, I pray that I would be in tune with your Holy Spirit, Father God. Don't let me say anything that's not of you, but Lord, let me be obedient to speak what you want me to speak. I pray, Father God, that your anointing would flow through this place this morning, flow through the airways, flow out the doors of this building, Father God, and touch the lives not only of this community, but Father God, the communities around them. Lord, let this place be an earth shaker, a move, a shaker that shakes out the goodness of God, I pray, unto all people. Every tribe and tongue that comes through this place. I pray for the nations that are represented in this house. There's people that's called in this place, Father God, to reach the nations for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray, Father God, that they rise up and be men of God and say, here am I, Lord, send me. I pray for that fourth, Lord, even those things do not exist yet, Lord, I'm praying them as though they do in the name of Jesus. I pray for every business, Father God, that's represented here today. Lord, that your anointing would flow through those businesses, oh God, not just financially, but Lord, supernaturally, that when people walk through the doors of those businesses, God, those business owners, they would know that there's something different. There's something mighty. There's something awesome about them, oh God, that they speak the truth, that they are not phony, that they are not fake, oh God. They're not artificial. But Father God, their business is founded and stands on the word of God. I pray for those things, God. I pray for the schools in this area, oh God, that people would be in those schools, God, praying for those children, because those children are our future generations, oh God. And Lord, you want to rule and reign in the future generations. You proclaim it time and time and time again in the word of God, how you want to move in the generations. And Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, for the hospitals and the medical fields around here, those that are involved in those areas, God. Let the Spirit of God flow in those places, Lord. Let people be amazed at how you work and what you do, God. Let there be healings and transformation in people's lives, spiritually, God, financially, Lord, physically, oh, and emotionally, God. I pray to the emotions, Father God, not just in this room, but in this community. God, that they would be drawn together. Amos says, how can two walk together unless they're in agreement? God, let people agree in the name of Jesus that they're going to flow. And emotional things that are not of you, God, would be settled down, I pray. And in marriages, oh God, I pray for marriages in this room. God, that you begin to work in marriages, Lord Jesus. That you would draw husband and wife together in unity, Lord. That you would draw the heart of the father back to his children and the children back to their father, I pray. We thank you, God. I pray that you would seal the words today in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So the Lord wants living waters to flow out of us. And Pastor already shared, I'm not a pastor. I mean, I have been, but I'm really not now. And I don't really know what I want to do when I grow up. But I'm in pursuit of the American dream, right? No, I'm in pursuit of the kingdom dream. I'm kingdom-minded. I've been kind of like Paul. I've had a lot of things, and I've had nothing. And I've really tried to be at peace of whatever situation I'm in, you know? And it's not always easy. But right now, God's got me here today to minister the word of God. And I want to bless your hearts this morning. I don't want you to walk out of here the same way that you walked in. And I believe the Lord's got a word for us if we're willing to open up our hearts and receive. He wants rivers of living water to flow out of us. We don't have to be a preacher. We don't have to be someone that knows every scripture or every translation, Greek and Hebrew. But we do need to know that the Spirit of God is in our hearts. He saved us for such a time as this. Amen? And we don't know when our time is going to come. It may be right now or it may be tomorrow. God may put you in a situation where He needs you. He needs somebody to stand up to the plate and say, here am I. I'm here for now, Lord. I'm here for such a time as this. And you may be the only Jesus that somebody's going to see. And what happens if you say, well, not today, Lord. Uh-huh. Lord, it sounded great on Sunday, but this is Monday now, and I don't think I can do it. When He begins to flow in your life, He needs you to flow. He doesn't need you to put a dam up. He needs you to flow. Amen. Do you hear what I just said? When He wants to flow in your life, He needs you to flow. He doesn't need you to put a dam up.
Amen.
I spoke to the guys this weekend and I said, just picture yourself as a water faucet. And you can turn the water faucet on and nothing comes out if you're not hooked up to the fountain.
Right.
We got to be in the flow. Does no good to dress up like a water faucet and walk around and say, yeah, I'm ready to be turned on. But you're not hooked up to anything. We got to be hooked up to the Word of God. We got to be hooked up to the Spirit of God. We got to be hooked up to the source of the living water. Amen?
Amen.
And then the other thing we have to be willing to do is to come out in whatever form He tells us to come out into. Amen?
Yes.
It may not be going to be preaching to somebody. It may be simply fixing somebody a meal. And I told the guys this weekend, I didn't know I liked to cook. I didn't really know I liked to cook that much, but I like to cook. And you know what I'm finding out? I'm kind of good at it. And my wife gets a kick out of it because I just take stuff out of the cabinet, different spices, and blend stuff together. And where? I was cooking. See, they're listening. Praise God. And so I just kind of sprinkle all kinds of seasoning in there and cook, you know. But I work in the emergency room, and it can be really tense. And so the Lord spoke to me that he wanted me to begin to try to minister to the people I work with. And so, you know, some people are just, they're just so stone-faced, you can't tell if they're happy or sad. They could have just won the lottery and... I just won the lottery, you know. And so the Lord began to speak to me to try to minister some of these people. So I started cooking, and especially on our weekend, we have to work opposite weekends. And now it's become kind of fun. I say, hey, are you cooking something this weekend? Hey, can I? I'll bring some rolls, or I'll bring some veggies, or I'll bring whatever, you know. And it's, we're becoming a little family, you know. And that's the way the body of Christ should be too, right? Yeah. Amen. And so they don't know it yet, but we're becoming a family. Because I'm allowing the Lord to minister to me in a way I didn't really know I knew how to do. I didn't know I could cook. But I'm cooking, and my kids love it when I cook too, and so does my wife, because then she doesn't have to. But, you know, it's something different. God's expanded my boundaries. I can't just preach to them. You know, and that's not a good idea to throw a Bible at somebody. You know. But I'm able to minister to them, and you know what's happening? They're coming to me. Hey, can I talk to you about something? And I shared, I'm not going to say his name, I shared about a friend of mine who's really going through some terrible things in his life. And he came to me at work one night, and he said, could I talk to you after work? And I said, yeah. So we went to McDonald's, and how many know the anointing of God can be anywhere that you are? Even McDonald's. You know, and as we're sitting down, his eyes filled with tears, began to bear his heart to me. And I said, man, you know, I know you probably want me to say this and this and this, but I got to tell you, the only thing that I know how to live by is what the Word of God says. I don't follow verbatim perfectly. I'm a guy who's still in the process, kind of like Paul was, you know. I've not yet arrived. Maybe you who have arrived could jot me some notes to help me along the way. But I have not yet arrived. And I told him that. I says, I still sin. I still have problems. I have struggles. I said, but this is my source of my life. This is where I go to. And I'm not going to tell you what everybody else will probably tell you. I said, so if you still want to talk to me, you still want to help me, and want me to help you, then this is where I'm going to pull my information from. It's kind of like my map, my manual, my repair manual, you know? He said, no, I want you to tell me because I know you'll tell me the truth. Now, how did we acquire that relationship? Because the word and the song both say they know shall know you are Christians by your love. I just started to let the love of Jesus Christ flow out of me in kind of an obscure way. I just started making food. I just took a chance. And I blessed him. Man, at Christmas time, I was going to make a prime rib. I thought, how am I going to keep it warm? And you, it's not fun cooking prime rib and have to warm it in the microwave, you know. So the Lord spoke to me, make fajitas and make your famous homemade ice cream. So I brought my ice cream maker in, and I brought seasonings. I cooked right there. And these people are saying, what are you doing? I said, we're going to have a feast today. We're going to celebrate Christmas. We're here anyways, and, you know, so I made homemade ice cream for the whole, it was people coming down from other nurses' stations, doctors were coming in, chowing down, you know, but I prayed over it. I said, Lord, let your spirit go with wherever this stuff goes.
Amen.
They're still talking about that. You're doing Christmas this year, aren't you? You know? And so I'm sitting across the table from him. I began to speak the word of God into his life. I didn't have my Bible there. I just began to let it to flow out of me. You see, Isaiah 55 says, as the rain comes down from heaven and waters the earth, so shall my word be. Amen? Yes. You know, the word of God can put out forest fires.
Yes.
There's people that's consumed with anger and rage and fear. And Jesus, even himself, said, peace, be still.
Yes. Come on.
But as the rain come down from heaven and waters the grass and the earth, so shall my word be. It shall not return void, but it'll accomplish in what I want it to accomplish, and it will prosper. It will prosper.
Yes, sir.
Do you hear that this morning? It will prosper in the things that God wants it to prosper if you allow it to flow out of your life. So I begin to speak this into his life. And I said, man, don't do anything stupid, hard, or rash. Give yourself a little time. And I begin to speak to him about the heart of a father. Because he's told me, we went on a snowmobile trip together, and we did some other things together, and he's telling me about, he said, man, you're lucky, man. Your kids, you guys get along really good. You got a relationship with your kids. I said, well, yeah, some days. Some days I got to take my belt off. But he said, you know, my dad left me when I was 11 years old or whatever it was, a little boy. Left my mom. And even as my adulthood lives, he lived like half a mile from me. He would drive by my house. He'd see me. He said, I would run out to the yard and stand there because I know my dad would drive by. He said he would never stop. He's got a broken heart. And he says, I never want to be like that. And he got angry. And so I knew this was a soft spot in his life. And so I began to speak to him. I said, man, for the sake of your children, think clearly. I said, why not for a week try God? Give God a chance and see if he can do something in this situation. You see, we're so scared to death to mention God or Jesus to anybody, we won't even give him a chance. There's people that are starved to death for affection, starved to death to be filled up, and they're grasping everything they can around them. I got kids who come in snorting dope, snorting gas, and stuff that we don't even know what they're snorting, laying in the emergency department. They're dying, and we can't even help them because we don't know what we're taking. I had a guy come in. I told the guys this weekend. Forgive me for some repeats, guys. This is good stuff. And I had a guy come in, this young man, probably about 17, 18 years old, stoned out of his gourd, high on dope, overdosed purposely. He took all these medications, multiple things. How do you combat that? Well, in the natural, you really don't. He's coming in and out of consciousness. His mom and dad finally show up. Opposite vehicles, opposite areas of the town. You know, they're in a riff. They're arguing back and forth. I finally said, you know what? This is not appropriate right now. Your son needs support. And this kid's going in and out of consciousness. And finally he passes out. I walk around the foot of the bed. I'm praying over him in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you shall not die. In the name of Jesus. That kid comes out of unconsciousness and looks at me and says, are you praying for me? I said, yeah, I am. He said, well, I'm not worth it. And the other nurse that was working with me, a supervisor, a kid that I encouraged to go into nursing years ago, looks at him and says, oh, yes, you are. God's got a plan for your life. Boom, he's back out again. Passed out again. But we spoke life into that situation. We transferred that kid to the intensive care unit. We have no idea what his background is. But you know what the Lord does, amen?
Amen.
I heard from the rest of the nursing staff and the other parts of the hospital this amazing story that his grandfather came into the ICU and prayed over him. See, nobody knew. I didn't know, but God did. His grandfather was a minister. Came and prayed over that boy. He come to and discharged that day.
Praise God.
Amen. I took a chance. I don't care anymore. You know what? If you want to fire me for praying for somebody, then go for it. God will give me another job.
Amen.
I'm not saying I'm being stupid about it. I'm not wearing this underneath my... Well, I do sometimes underneath my nurses. Me and a buddy of mine down in Brookings, God gave us both the same T-shirt thing years ago called Jesus is Tougher in Hell. And I ride motorcycles, so I wear it on the back. And it brings a lot. I wear that sometimes underneath my scrubs. But anyways, I don't wear some big thing on my shirts. You know, that's you can be stupid too. You know what I mean? You can be offensive. The Holy Spirit's not offensive. He's a gentleman.
Yeah.
But when God speaks to you, then do it.
Yeah.
Give God a chance to work through your life. It'll change you forever. Rivers of living water will begin to flow out of you. People do not care what you have to say until they see how much you care.
That's right.
You can talk to your blue in the face. But if everything is coming out of you, is being shaken out, is just anger and pity and disgust and, you know, I'm a Christian. You think they're going to want some of that?
Right.
No. Which one of you, if your son was or daughter was hungry, would give him a stone?
Right.
Or give him a serpent? How much more is the Holy Father pleased with you and wants to give you good things, such as the Holy Spirit? Amen?
Amen.
Why would we want to give to other people this side of us that we don't even want to live with? Why not let the joy of the Lord come out? Amen?
Amen.
Man, that was a powerful word he had this morning. Jesus, change me, Lord. I want more of that stuff and less of me.
Yes,
amen.
I want less of the old man. And I want more of the Lord.
Amen.
You know, we go through all kinds of things. And people are watching how you handle it.
Come on.
What's going to be shaken out of us? You know, pride is a very much a hindrance. And a lot of us Christians are full of pride. It's called religious pride. We're so proud that we're a Christian that we want to keep it all to ourselves. That's not what the Lord intended. I'm not trying to spank you or beat you up here this morning. I'm just letting you know my heart, okay? You know, we need to be released in the goodness and the joy and the flow that God wants to do in our life. Jesus said, I know where I came from and I know where I'm going. You know where you were before you were saved, amen?
Yeah.
God delivered you and set you free. We were bought at a price, church. We were bought at a price. Somebody gave their life for us so we can walk in freedom. We need to act like it.
Yes, amen.
I've got one son who I love and cherish. And I'm glad he's seen him grow up to be a mighty man of God. He's making good decisions. But I guarantee you, I can love you in the body of Christ. But there's no way I'd want to sacrifice him for you. But that's what God did. The Father. We need to get to his heartbeat and feel his feelings for us. He gave his life. And he wants us to walk in that freedom and that victory and that joy. We put so much time into arguing, bickering, and complaining and fighting, we forget, wow, God really set me free from this. Why am I still walking in it?
Come on.
Paul even wrote in Romans 7, he says, the things that I hate are the very things that I do. In Mark chapter 9, there's a guy in there where Jesus came to minister to his son. He wanted to set him free from seizures and everything. He said, yeah, I believe, Lord, but help my unbelief. How many have that today? I believe, but there's times that I don't have enough belief. Come on, if that's you, raise your hand. Say, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief.
Yes.
Lord, give me a fresh revelation of who you are in me.
Come on.
If you don't know who you are in Christ, how are you supposed to be able to tell anybody else who you are in Christ?
That's right.
If you don't have the freedom of Jesus flowing through your veins, how is it supposed to come out of you anywhere else?
That's right.
There's a medical condition called paralytic ileus, and it has to do with your colon and your bowel system. What happens that there's an old saying that if you don't poop, you don't pee, you die, and that's true, okay? And you have to have peristalsis, and it has to move through your system. See, God wants us to get the garbage out of our life so we can be filled with something fresh and anointed, amen? But if we're so bound up, we're like a paralytic ileus. Nothing yuck, no yuck can come out anymore. We're bound up. And we're going to blow it up till we explode. We're not making any room for the Holy Spirit to work in our lives.
That's right.
Forgive me.
Tell it the way it is.
Yeah, ask me how I really feel. No. We want to hear the stories of what God's doing.
Come on.
We all like to hear those stories. Oh, I love to hear the stories. Da, 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 da. The old hymnal, you know. Love to tell the stories, yeah. We love to tell the stories. We all got a story, amen. The Lord gave me a word for a guy this weekend. And I was telling Pastor, I said, man, I stood out on a limb. I was scared to death to give it. I really was. I thought, oh, man, Lord, is this really you? I asked him like 6 times, is this really you? He kept on bringing me to the same guy and same vision and the same thing. Oh, Lord, really? Yeah. I thought, okay, Lord, I'm preaching about giving you a chance, so I'm going to try God. He never fails. So I began to speak in this guy's life. And one of the things that the Lord spoke to me is that he needs to have his own history. We can't be living in somebody with somebody else's story, amen? God wants to give each and every one of us our own novel that he wants to write with us, chapter after chapter after chapter.
Come on, true.
That's why Jesus says, I know where I came from. And I know where I'm going. What are you scared of? The same spirit that raised him from the dead dwells within you, then you should know where you're going. Amen?
That's
right.
And he's got a plan and a purpose. Jeremiah 29:11 is our family verse. For I know, K-N-O-W, the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Prosperity isn't just all financial, by the way.
Come on.
John says, I have no greater joy than know my children walk in truth. Man, if your family's serving God, that's a super prosperous family.
Amen.
There's people who could wish and would beg to have what you have.
Come on.
Amen. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Man, when you're walking in the will of God, when you give him your full attention, when you honor him first in all things, Malachi chapter 3 says nothing's going to harm you. He's going to rebuke the devourer for your sake. Amen?
Yes.
Amen.
That's a whole nother message. I'll let your pastor preach on that. But it says he rebukes the devourer for your sake. Nothing will harm you. He wants to prosper you and not harm you. Give you hope for tomorrow. Hope for today. And an amazing future. So I'm sitting across from this guy in McDonald's. We're back to McDonald's now. And I said, you know, your life in your mind feels like it's crumbling all around you. And I began to speak Jeremiah 29:11 into his life. I said, but God's got a plan and a purpose for your life and for your children. I said, for the sake of your children, man, don't do a stupid thing. Because you know what? When you're in turmoil, the devil just loves to feed that. You know, he says it comes like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. Yeah. That word devour. Have you ever watched National Geographic and they got one animal eating another animal? They're not saying, well, we're going to dice it right here and we're going to blend it with some herbs over here. No, they devour that thing. They rip it to pieces, don't they? And that's what the devil wants to do. He will find you at your lowest point. He doesn't care how he does it. He wants to devour, terrorize you, and torture you to pieces. But there's somebody who's already defeated him.
Amen.
He lives within our heart. And according to Genesis chapter 1, he's under our feet. Praise God. So I told him, I said, for the sake of your children, give yourself a week. Give yourself a week. Promise me as your friend, you'll give yourself a week before you do something stupid. And before you do something stupid, ask me first. Come on. He asked me for help. He asked me for my opinion. What good am I going to do if I just put a Band-Aid on it? I spoke life into him. I let the word of God flow out of me. It didn't cost me anything. He asked. So when he asks, I'm going to tell him. And God's going to put people into your life that need to hear the truth.
Amen.
We got to quit messing around. And we got to speak life into dead situations.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Speak life.
So now, on a daily basis, I'm texting him scripture. I'm texting him words of encouragement. And he comes to me and he says, man, he says, I don't know why you're being so compassionate, but I don't know what I would do without you. And I said, you know, it's not me. It's because this is not naturally my thing to do. It isn't. You can ask my wife. I'm not a very good communicator. But God is opening a door for me to allow his spirit to flow through me, and I'm doing that. You can do the same thing.
Amen.
You've got these apparatuses, these phones. They're good for something.
Yep. Come on.
Use them.
Yes.
So he'll text me back now and he said, man, I'm really struggling with this. What can I do? So he had a few days off this last week. And so he said, I'm just going to try to clear my head. I'm going to read a book. So he had this demonic book that he was going to read. It's a series that he was really into, you know. So the Spirit of God spoke to me, try me. So I said, you know, I helped you that night at McDonald's download your Bible on your phone. Remember that? Yeah. I said, do me a favor. Spend 10 minutes. I know you're going to read this whole book. Spend 10 minutes, just 10 minutes. And I gave him some scripture to read. I told him to turn to the book of James where it says to count it all joy. Where it'll test your endurance. The guy's really into endurance things. That's cool how God works, isn't it? If you allow God to work through you, he will give you words of life to speak to people that they don't even know that they need yet. You know, that's the way the Holy Spirit works. He makes utterance for us and we can't even speak ourselves. But words of life should begin to be shaken out of us or flow out of us on a natural basis, on a daily life. Am I going too long, Pastor?
You're fine.
It should be coming out of us, and then without even thinking about it, really. Another situation where this guy came to the house, and we were going to work on a snowmobile together, and the Lord spoke to me and says, he's home alone, lonely. Now, I really wanted to be with myself that day. I had enough of people. I really did. I worked 7 nights in a row. I wanted to just go in my shop. And so I was going to throw an engine in a snowmobile and fire it up and get it running. My wife was gone and she was out of town. She was laying on some beach somewhere where it was nice and warm. And I'm home moving snow, feeding the wood stove. Oh, by the way, this is really cool. I can't forget this. That day that he came to me and said he needed to talk, I was chucking wood in the old wood stove. I was hauling wood, and the Lord spoke these words to me. This man's going to ask you for help today. His wife's having an affair, and he's going to want to end his life. The Lord spoke that to me. So as he's sharing me these things, I said, do you know how much God loves you? God spoke to me today, and I told him everything that he was telling me that he was feeling. God spoke it to me. You don't think that got his attention? See, when God lays people on your heart, it's not for you just to go, oh, huh, I wonder what he's up to today. It may be somebody you don't even like, but God may lay them on your heart. Why does he do that? Because he wants you to pray for them, minister to them. It's called discernment. And we need to walk in that. That's a gift of the Holy Spirit that some people have kind of pushed to the wayside. But I'm telling you what, the Spirit of God is alive. And he wants to flow through us. And the same God that walked with Daniel and walked with Moses and walked with King David is the same God that wants to walk with us here today. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
So I invited him over to the house and we're going to put this snowmobile engine in. And I personally, and I'm not trying to say anything bad about anything else, so don't take it that way. I only listen to Christian music, and I normally listen to praise and worship music, or I listen to music that's really got a positive influence, that's going to speak something good to me, because garbage in, garbage out, right? So he walks into the shop, and I've got my iPod going, and I've got a band called December Radio on, and some Lincoln Brewster, and some praise and worship music. It's a mix that's going on. He says, "Man, what are you listening to? That's pretty cool." I said, "Well, I know you like this band Ludacris," which I don't even know what that means, and I know you like this other band that you listen to, and I said, "But man, the lyrics in that stuff is just horrible." He says, "Oh, I know, I don't listen to them." I said, "Well, actually, did you know that there's a spirit behind all music, that God created music?" And I began to speak to him about the truth of how music invades our spirit and how it invades our life. I said, "This is why I listen to this stuff." And I use the exact same terminology. I said, "Garbage in, garbage out." And he's just irate about people using dope, drugs. I said, "It's no different than people getting hooked on drugs and that garbage in their system killing their body." I said, "How do you excrete it?" "Well, you excrete it through your kidneys and your liver, and you ruin those things when you do so." I said, "The same thing with rotten music. It filters your mind. It affects your spirit." So, cool thing. I didn't preach that. I just told him those few things, and I left the music playing. So he said, "Well, how do I get that stuff?" I said, "Well, there's a really cool app called Pandora." So we turned on Pandora, and I showed him how to find the songs he did. So about a week later at work, he's got his iPhone sitting next to him. Music's playing. You know what he's listening to? He's "Love Found Me" by December Radio. He's listening to that stuff. It's feeding his spirit. Because I told him, I said, in this time in your life, you got to do everything you can to build yourself up. And the best way to do that is through the Word of God and partaking of the things that he has for you. Amen?
Amen.
Did I preach at him? No. I just told him my feelings and what I do. And if you're a good example, people will want to have some of what you're doing with, what you're messing with. Amen? I almost invited him to come with me this weekend, but I didn't know if it would be too much. But I believe there's going to be a day, because the Lord showed me in a vision of him on his knees raising his hands before the Lord.
Praise God.
It may not even be me leading him to the Lord, but it doesn't matter. Because see, the Word of God says that Paul says, I planted a seed. My good buddy Apollos, he watered a seed. And he doesn't even mention who got the increase. It doesn't matter, does it? If you're kingdom minded, it should not be all about me. It should be about, "Lord, what do you want to do?" Amen?
Amen.
But I want to encourage you this morning that God wants to use you as a living vessel. There's a scripture in Jeremiah chapter 2 that says, "You've sinned against me twice," the Lord spoke. He said, "You have not maintained a vessel for me, the living waters, to thrive in. You become cisterns who are broken." That means you're oozing out everything God's done for you. God wants us to patch the thing up. He wants our lives to be put back together so we can be honorable vessels for him to flow through. Amen?
Amen.
And if you haven't been tapped lately, if you haven't been listen to that. If you have not been tapped lately, you're past due. You need to start to flow some of that stuff out of your life so the Holy Spirit can come bring some fresh living water into you. Come on. The word says, taste and see that the Lord is good. We sing this song, Lord, I'm hungry. Lord, I'm thirsty. I want more of you. But you sit there, we ain't getting in here. We need to allow some of who we are to be oozed out into other people so we can be filled again for the next person. Amen?
Amen.
I'm looking forward to the day. It has not happened yet. But we're just like Peter. When he would walk through the stores and the highways and the byways and the shopping center and the farm stores and wherever he's at, maybe it's a cattle sale, I don't know where you're at. But when he would walk by people, the Bible said that even the shadow was cast on them, they were healed.
Amen. Amen.
Why can't we expect that today?
That's right.
I don't remember who he was, but he said you should preach the gospel and if necessary, use words. That's what we should be about. The Father's business. Why does it have to be so hard? It doesn't. David wrote, let the thoughts of my heart and the thoughts of my mind and meditation of my heart be about you, Lord. We should get up in the morning and say, okay, God, I don't feel good today. I feel like it could be a bummer. My back hurts, my knees hurt, my ribs hurt because my wife kept on hitting me in church and everything else. But Lord, I'm going to glorify you. Lord, I want this day to be about you. And so Lord, even though I don't feel good, Lord, allow me to glorify you. Allow me to bless you today and allow me to minister to someone. Maybe you are going to fill somebody's gas tank and you don't know it yet. But that's ministering the love of Jesus Christ. Maybe somebody in the grocery store in front of you is got laid off from work and really doesn't have the money for those groceries, but he's got kids at home. Doesn't know how they're going to make this check work. And God speaks to your heart to pay for their bill. Or maybe you've got $10 and left in your name and God speaks to you to give it to somebody. But Lord, that's the last $10 that I have. I guarantee you, if the Lord speaks it to you, he's going to provide for it. Just like the widow's mite. He said, see, she gave all she had. God will meet you abundantly, more than you could ever imagine or think. That's one of the most coolest scriptures in the Word of God. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that you could ask or think of. I got a friend of mine that says, man, you don't know, Steve, I can think of about a lot. I can imagine a lot. I said, well, you got to get off the fleshly things and get on kingdom-minded things. It's not all about you. But isn't it cool that God can do exceedingly abundantly above anything you could ask or think? And so when you walk in that realm and you say, Lord, flow out of me today, he's going to do things that you can't even imagine yet.
Come on. Amen.
That is the coolest thing.
Yes.
Man, God wants to work through our lives so much to the point that there should be revival going on all over the place. You know, this is going to change gears just for a second, but it's cool, so I'm going to do it anyways. I preached at a missions conference a couple months ago, and this is what the Lord showed me, okay? We know that there's stuff going on all around the world, right? There's stuff going around in our own nation, okay? How many know that the Lord's heard this stuff before? Okay? And this is what the book of Habakkuk says. And Habakkuk, I think, sharing his heart with the Lord. But the Lord already knows it anyway. That's okay. Share what you feel with God, okay? Just tell him how you feel. So, oh, Lord, how long shall I cry and you don't hear me? Even cry out, man, there's violence and you don't save me. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are everywhere before me. There is strife. There's contentions. The law is powerless. There's no justice. The wicked are all around me, and the perverse precede me. Does that sound like today? But then the Lord responds. This is the cool thing. He said, look among the nations and watch. Be utterly amazed, for I will work a work in your days. That means that God is going to work here right now if we will allow him. Isn't that cool?
Yes, sir.
Even though all this stuff is going on around us, God is here working in our midst. And he's looking for a few good men, a few good women to say, here I am, Lord, flow through me. You know how you're going to change the environment and the world around you? Start with me. Start with one person at a time. Say, Lord, if I'm shaking garbage out, I ask you to cleanse me of that stuff. I don't want to shake out anger anymore. I don't want to shake out doubt. I don't want to shake out disbelief. I don't want to shake out discord. I don't want to shake out, well, yeah, you should have done that. I don't want to shake out judgment. I want to shake out the joy of the Lord. I want to live in peace, in righteousness, in the Holy Ghost. Amen?
Amen.
I want to be filled up so I'm bubbling over. I want the Spirit of God to flow through me so that if the shadow of the Holy Spirit flows from me, people are going to be touched and changed. Amen?
Amen.
I want his name branded on my heart. That should be the cry of all of our hearts this morning. Some of you have been following your own plan for so long that you don't even know where you're going anymore. But there's a GPS to help you out. That's God's positioning system. If you allow him to get you back on track, and you want, if you allow him to work in your life, you're going to see some astounding things. The first thing he wants to do, he wants to work in our marriages. Ooh, it got quiet. He wants to work in our marriages. God wants to work in my marriage between me and my wife, Annette. Been married for 28 years, been together for almost 30. And I wish things were perfect, but they're not. But he wants to make them perfect. He wants to work in your marriages. He wants the heart of the father to go back to his children and bless them and not curse them. We have a responsibility to direct our kids in the way that we should go. I talked this weekend about potential energy. Potential energy is simply this: two opposing forces doing nothing. It's like the hand of an archer. You pull back the bow, and I love to bow hunt, but I can only hold that bow so long before I start shaking and getting weary and getting tired. And if I would release, it wouldn't even go the direction I want it to go in. Because I'm pulling force this way, and the beams of the bow are pulling the other way. But we have a responsibility as parents. The Bible says that our children are like arrows in the hand of an archer. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. We have a responsibility to shoot them straight, amen?
Amen.
We do that one way by correction, but another way is by blessing. And we have forgotten to bless our children. We're letting somebody else raise them. We're letting somebody else tell them what to do, where to go, and how to get there. We need to let the Word of God flow through us into their lives. I'm going to tell you this. My dad's almost 80 years old. You know what he is? He's still my daddy. I still listen to him. The Word says to honor your father and mother. I still honor my father and mother. When he comes to me and corrects me, it still hurts. But he does it because he loves me. You're always going to be mom. You're always going to be dad. Let the Word of God flow out of you in those situations. Next thing he wants to do, he wants to heal our marriage, he wants to heal our families. He wants to heal our churches. He wants us to quit judging one another and begin to build one another up through body ministry. I think it's so cool this sister needs help. Man, if I lived here, I'd be there. That's one way that we can minister to one another. You may not have finances, but you got a back, you got arms, you got a mind, amen? You can use those things to bless one another. And God may speak to you to minister to your neighbor. I got a neighbors that live to my mom, next door to my mom and dad. And when I plow my parents out the snow, I go over there and plow them out. I don't charge them nothing. Why do I do it? The Lord told me to do it. Does it cost me something? Yeah, a little bit. But I believe there's going to be a greater reward later on. We've got to be willing to stand out, take a chance, and try God. And once we begin to do body ministry within our own church body, and healing begins to take place, and we stir up the gifts of God that are within each and every person. Paul says to stir up the gifts that are within us through the laying on of hands, through the word of prophecy, encourage one another, exhort one another. Hebrews says exhort one another today while it is still today. Don't wait till next week. Do it today, amen?
Amen.
And then you can go into the areas around you and minister to people. We got to let the word of God flow through us like rivers of living water. And start right here. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. If the song says, Lord, open my eyes to the things unseen. That's my prayer. That God would begin to open our spiritual eyes to be able to see people around us so we can minister to them in a real way. Can't just look at the outward appearance anymore. We got to ask God to help us see to the heart. Amen. And when we do that, He will allow the rivers to flow out of us. Healing waters. Healing waters. Amen.